This is ensemble member John Mahoney, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
Hello, this is literary manager Joy Meads, and I'm here with Kevin Anderson, who is an ensemble member and also playing the role of Kenny in our current production of Detroit. Yes. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Thanks for coming. Yeah,
thank you.
All right. So why don't we just start out, will you tell us a little bit about your character, Kenny? Who is he and what's he like?
Well, Kenny just got a major substance abuse rehab, and he's been in and out of drug programs and prisons probably since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with this woman, Sharon, that
yeah.
Kate Arrington plays, and we move in next door to Ben and Mary.
Yes.
That's great. The basic setup.
Great.
You know, he's a guy who's kind of, like most addicts, he's just wrestling with,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to stay off the drugs yeah. and stuff. And
yeah.
But it sounds very serious because it's more of a comedy. So, I mean, mm-hmm. the play doesn't really deal with a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
It's more about just the two of them trying to fit in to this
yeah.
kind of suburban life
mm-hmm.
after living such a anti-suburban life. So,
yeah.
and that's part of where the comedy comes from. You know, it's this, these two kind of offbeat people trying to fit in, you know.
Yeah. The play is set in a first-ring suburb, a kind of neighborhood that I think represents this dream of America, you know, of like the home ownership, of the ability to start your life, you know, from nothing and really to have it all. In the first scene, the scene where you meet your neighbors at a barbecue in their yard,
mm-hmm.
we get to hear a little bit about the series of rented apartments, condos with sewer issues,
yes.
and hotel. We get a feel, maybe tenement-like hotels that Kenny and Sharon have lived in before landing in this house. And I'm so struck by the way that they describe the house. The final words of the scene, your character Kenny says, and we went to see my great uncle, who was very close to my aunt. She left the house to him. And Sharon says, and we asked if we can live here. We asked him to give us a chance. So I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit of what do you think that Kenny and Sharon are working for in this? Like, what is the vision that's before them? What are they trying? What do you think that they're trying to achieve by being in this home? What is that chance?
You know, they sort of had this almost like TV version of what living in the suburbs is. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they really
yeah.
have any clue as to...
Yeah.
I think they want to achieve some sense of what in their heads is normalcy, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
and
a kind of stability.
Yeah, I think so. But they're constantly kind of caught in lies all through the play,
mm-hmm.
And their attempts to, project this kind of normal
mm-hmm.
couplehood living next door. They get caught in these little lies, and you're not quite sure as an audience whether they're telling the truth or not, you know.
Yeah.
So they're constantly, I think on a certain level, the two of them are kind of pathological liars. I mean, they
mm-hmm.
kind of, they're the kind of liars that will lie even when they know they might get caught.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just so used to making up stories.
Yeah.
About their life, because they're so ashamed of it, probably,
mm-hmm.
that I think Sharon and Kenny are used to just riffing. If they get in
mm-hmm.
kind of in a questionable spot in a conversation, they'll riff out of it.
One thing that this play explores is when the kind of stability and plans, when our plans break down, what the experience of that is like. And on one hand, you know, there's a huge anxiety that's provoked by it that you really see in the characters of Mary and Ben, who are having these nightmares, you know, the kind of anxiety is infiltrating their dreams because Ben's become unemployed. But the other side of the coin can be a kind of liberation and discovery
mm-hmm.
of my plans broken down. You know, the stable foundation has fallen apart, you know, and now anything is possible.
Yes. You're at zero, yes, Sharon says.
Absolutely.
You can't really do anything until you come to zero, you know. Yeah. There's something very wise about that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the play really has, it's a lot about boundaries, too, like the boundaries we set with each other. And, like, everybody has their own boundaries, you know. And it's interesting. What's so funny about the play is you got these two people who have lived their lives kind of without boundaries. And with this couple who have lived their life completely within boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're both desperately trying to be friends, you know, like trying to act like everything's normal when really they don't really know each other at all. Like, I mean, Laurie's, as the character of Mary, her last line is something like, they could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, Sharon and Kenny are kind of completely out of touch with things. Like, they really have no idea how to participate in a kind of organized society. I mean, they don't really know how to, what that even means. But yet, so part of you goes, well, they don't really know what they're doing. But part of them are also these kind of mentors for Mary and Ben. They kind of guide them into this kind of knowledge that maybe they sort of need, you know?
Absolutely. I don't want to give too much away, but I do want to say that I've heard rumors of what's, you know, what you guys have been doing in the rehearsal hall. Something about Laurie Metcalf doing the worm, and it just sounds like you guys are having a blast down there. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what the rehearsal process has been like.
Yeah, that's a fun scene. I mean, it's one of those scenes, it's a lot of fun to rehearse, but then it becomes like agony to kind of duplicate it every night. I mean, to try to, it's very hard to perform spontaneous moments when they're rehearsed. I mean, it's probably one of the hardest things one can do. I mean, it's like, as an actor, it's really, and this part is filled with all sorts of kind of spontaneous moments, like from dancing and, you know, drinking a lot of beer to singing and chanting and, you know, all this kind of crazy shit you do at a backyard grilling barbecue.
I cannot wait to see it. Can you tell me a little bit about, is it different rehearsing in a play that's an all ensemble cast? You know, we're all kind of part of the same family. Is it different than working on a play where that's not the experience? And if so, like, how do you think that that changes the process?
It depends, you know. Like, for instance, I just did a play with Fran Guinan, who I'd never acted, even a similar thing. I've known him for, I don't know, for 25 years, but we'd never have acted on stage or any. Well, a little bit. We did a little movie. Even though Fran and I had never acted before, it was just like we had this sort of shorthand. So that's what it comes down to. I mean, particularly, I mean, I can't even include myself in this, but I think particularly with the original members, people like, you know, Malkovich and Terry and Jeff and Rondi and Laurie and Moira and Gary, Tom Mahoney, when I first saw them perform before I ever knew them or was part of the company, it was kind of like, it was mind-blowing because it was sort of, and these are people who'd known each other for 10 years, and you can't replace that with like 3-4 weeks of rehearsal. Sometimes you can. I mean, I feel very grateful that for some reason they saw something in me that they responded to and thought that I would understand, you know, the way they work and would adjust to it. And I think a lot of it just comes from this kind of crazy cornhead humor. And we all grew up on farms and cornfields. And, I mean, it's a lot different now. I mean, the ensemble's, what, 40-something strong now?
Yeah.
40? So, I mean, it's expanded a lot, so not everybody's grown up on a farm. But back in the early part of the company, I mean, almost all of us grew up in these small farming communities. So we had this kind of similar sense of humor. And I think that attributes to the company probably more than anything. I think the people they've added over the years have this good sense of humor. And also, although I find a lot of Chicago actors and theaters have this also, but a sort of sense of team play. Like, we're going to try to... When I used to watch the early Steppenwolf plays with the people I just mentioned, it was like watching the Chicago Bulls in their championship years. Yeah. I mean, they were like throwing the, you know, these no-look passes and throwing the ball behind their back. And the other team would be like, how did they... They knew where everybody on the team was. Yeah. Like, they just knew where they were, like a map. They knew where... They played together so fluidly. And that's... I think Steppenwolf at its best, that's how they got their reputation, is that kind of play, like incredible teamwork where they're throwing the ball behind their back and the person just knows it's there, or the line, or whatever you however you want to put it. But
that's a beautiful way to put it, and I think it's so true. It's fantastic.
I think Lisa's writing in this play encourages that type of interplay. I mean, some plays are very static and staid, and it kind of almost takes almost a classical type actor to deliver these long arias or what have you. But this play has a very spontaneous, improvisational feel, and it really is, I think, well suited for the Steppenwolf, you know.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because that's actually one of the last things I want to ask you about. You, as you know, Lisa DeMore, our playwright for Detroit, is also one of our commissioned playwrights under the Mellon Initiative, which means that she's going to write two plays over the next year or so with the ensemble in mind.
Terrific.
Yeah. So since this is the beginning of a longer partnership, I just want our audience to have a sense of what she's like as a writer. And I think that's a tremendous place to start. The idea that she really writes plays in which the actors can be co-creators, that it's not that, you know, she has these evocative lines and, you know, it's a richly imaginative world that she creates, but there's a lot of freedom to play within it.
Definitely. I mean, and not like you're making up lines or anything, but I mean, her writing is so fresh that, like, our first read through, the five of us could barely keep a straight face. That to me, that's a really good sign. When a script makes you smile and want to laugh every time you say your line, or I mean, and it still happens now. I mean, we're 2 weeks in a rehearsal, but it makes you really listen, and it makes you just naturally, it's very naturally very easy to listen to when you're talking to someone in her material.
Absolutely.
And you don't feel locked into a prescribed response, because her writing is very moment to moment. I mean, it's very original.
And I think she never forgets the fact that she's writing in three dimensions, you know, that it's not just words which are to be parroted back, but there's a body that's going to be saying those words on stage, that's going to be interacting with objects, you know, and that there's tremendous creative potential in those, like the physical interactions, you know, that she sketches out but gives you all room to create.
Definitely. It almost has a kind of performance piece kind of feel to it, like it's a real kind of downtown kind of show, you know. It has a real, so it's a real challenge for the actor to be as in the zone as they can be, because they are kind of creating that energy that makes the scene fly, you know. It's not all set.
It's that quality of spontaneity that you talked about in the beginning. There's a feeling that really these characters could do anything at any moment. And so it takes virtuosic actors to keep that afresh.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us, Kevin.
Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about Detroit or the rest of Steppenwolf's programming, please visit us on www.steppenwolf.org.